Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with my good friend, Dave Damashek. Why is that so hard to say, Dave? Here we are, second one of the week. I think it gets rough when we do it at night.
Well, listen, maybe you're nervous because you're about to talk to one part of the greatest studio sports show I think ever known to man, right?
Oh,
Is that hyperbole to call that?
No way. Kenny the Jet Smith is joining us. And this is like a real show now, Dave, right? It's funny. Like one of the producers said, I thought you guys would be interviewing like James Baby Doll Dixon every day. No. We have real athletes. We have real ex-athletes. This is a real deal.
I know. I'm pretty sure he's weighed in on this one. This one, about a year ago, was getting a lot of attention with the Jordan documentary coming out. But one of my favorite sports what ifs, you know, I love the butterfly effect as it pertains to the sports world, is I've long contended, much to the chagrin, upset, or otherwise of Bulls fans, I think that Michael Jordan really dodged a career bullet by not having to face Akeem Olajuwon and those Houston Rockets. I think they would have gotten. Yeah. I think that would have done him. I want to ask Kenny the Jet about that. And by the way, Sal, we're old enough fellas now, talking about sports studio shows, we were remiss in not honoring or the passing of Irv Cross.
From
Brent Musburger. Dun, dun.
He was great, and I don't know why. He was with Brent Musburger and Jimmy the Greek and Phyllis George back then, that CBS crew, back in the heyday, and then kind of disappeared. I feel bad because I was thinking about it. Like, I hadn't seen him interviewed, hadn't seen anything, you know, in his 80s, I think, when he passed. But Irv Cross played for the Eagles, right?
That's correct. Yeah,
that's right.
You can dig him up on YouTube and watch him go up against Jim Brown in a title game. It's pretty fun to take a look at all those legends out there running around pre-Super Bowl era.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Hey, last night we did our draft. We did what's called a futures draft that takes us from March Madness till the middle of July, just to keep us interested. Not that there's not enough going on, but we took most of the talent here on Extra Points. We invited them all. Some of them, Jerry Ferrara, Rob Parker, too good for us. They said no. Not
hi-hats.
Doing it.
Yeah.
Yes, they hi-hatted us. But no, we did put that up, Jim Cunningham. We did 9 rounds, and the 10th round is a parlay. It gets very confusing. Our friend and my partner in crime here, Toby Mergler, set this up. But Jim, put this up. There were 14 of us competing, and you could take any kind of, I mean, there's Kentucky Derby, there's Women's French Open. You could grab from any big event from now until the middle of July. And the way we ran baseball is who would be the leader in the National League East at the All-Star game, who would have the most home runs in the NL at the All-Star break, stuff like that. That's how we broke down a season that was, we were joining right in the middle. But anyway, Mikey Meatballs took the Nets first. I don't want to go through all of these, but I took the Utah Jazz.
Well, but bottom line is,
yeah,
basically we've turned gambling into a fantasy sport, or fantasy sports into gambling.
Yeah.
And basically we drafted anything that you can gamble on in the sports world for the next 3 months.
That's right. I should have said it that way. Yep, you're right. So like the first round is 300 fake dollars you have to risk. The second round is 200 fake dollars. Third round, 150. And then there are a few 50s and a few 25s in there. It took us an hour and 15 minutes. It was nothing. We had a lot of fun. 14 of us in the room. I feel like people like you were nervous that everyone else would have a strategy. But I also feel like all the strategies were abandoned almost immediately. Do you feel the same way as
it's a brand new sport so that we're basically doing here. So
yeah.
Strategies are all to be tested here at this point. I mean, nobody, how does anybody, I don't know if there's any high math that you can apply here, Sal, to say this is definitely going to be the winning strategy. I don't know.
No.
I just took the ones I like best. And I started out with Illinois going to the Final Four, the team that you and I both kind of separately and randomly both landed on as our title winning pick. I played it a little safe by going Final Four there, but it's funny. It may call me a prisoner of the moment because I watched them hammer Michigan in the couple hours before that one without their best player.
There you go.
So it's easy to get on board with the Illini right now.
They might have hoodwinked you there. But no, so that you'll have $300 in the first round to spend, and you had Illinois. So if that hits, you get 3-1 odds. You're getting 900, right? And I did something similar. I took the Jazz to win the West at +450. I'll get 1350 now. Babyface Joel Solomon with his first pick took LaMelo Ball, who is -410. So Babyface, you're going to get about $80 back on that. Less, $70-something. What was your thinking behind that?
I thought this was real money, Sal, and I made a mistake.
Stop it.
No, I wanted to get on the board early, and I wanted to, I feel like, a shoe-in winner, and was a little more conservative.
Interesting. And then Heel producer Jim Cunningham, I think he had the 13th pick or 12th pick. You went with West Virginia. You've not watched, I would say, under 3.5 minutes worth of West Virginia, the Mountaineer basketball this year.
You'd be correct.
I'd be correct with the under. You took them at 4-1 odds. Why did you take them?
I was listening to Titus and Tate's pod, and they sounded good.
Boy.
So I figured picking a Final Four team, there's more chances. So
anyway,
I'm not familiar
of
with those names.
We will post the rules to this. I mean, Martin Weiss from Lemon Pepper Parlay at Dustin Johnson to win the U.S. Open. That was his first pick at 10-1. There's obviously Michigan was in there, the Yankees, Nadal, Bayern Munich is in there. It's, Harry, of course. I think Harry took three Kentucky Derby horses. I don't know what happened.
But it's not just who's going to win a title or sorry, because also we have in there the third quarterback to be taken in the first round of the NFL draft and those player props as well. So it's the blend of these that's going to make this so magical. But I'm behind the eight ball. Listen, I'm not a sharp. I'm not betraying anything publicly that I don't think people can pick up on. It's intimidating. You and the Against All Odds boys really are savvy. I'm more your gambling pal. I'm not your gambling sharp. You know, join me or go against me one way or the other and join me for the fun of it. But man, I was intimidated going up against you fellas. But
it's fun. You know, the most intimidating part is
great.
The most intimidating part for me was, well, first of all, the way it is to set up, our friend Toby's a maniac with this stuff, right? But he sets it up. If you make a pick, you could potentially take a pick that someone else made already, and then it lights up red. Bright in your face, like Rudolph's nose, like, oh my God, you screwed up. And everybody sees on the document that you took someone who was already selected, and you get laughed at. It was like playing the game of Operation, like all right, I hope Dustin Johnson wasn't taken to win the PGA already. Okay, good. I got him there. But there's no real, I don't know. I mean, we look at Jen Piacenti. She's our baseball expert, right? Who'd she take? Babyface, Clint Frazier?
The Astros to win the division at least, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, right. But she had a 60-1 odds.
Yeah, she took Clint pick. Frazier.
Clint Frazier to win to be leading in the home run leader at the All-Star break. So she wins the whole thing if that hits. So anyway, all right, we've spent enough time on our draft. Like we said, Kenny.
It's going to be really fun, though, I think, to track.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know what? We'll go over all the picks with Kenny the Jet Smith. We'll go over all 140 picks and I want him to rank them.
People were taking horses from the Kentucky Derby. That's where I felt like I can't really keep up with the sharps on
here. I know. You hit one horse, you're probably
the fourth favorite
in good shape. Hey, the Brooklyn Nets, they went to Houston. Obviously, James Harden's old team. Now, this was an interesting game tonight, Dave. Nets were laying, what was it, about 10.5? Yeah, 10.5, 226 was the over-under. They went in there and they thrashed them. 132-114. So the whole thing, here's the storyline. James Harden, does he take it easy on his old team? No. Even when they say they're going to retire his jersey and his fat suit? No, didn't matter. Like, oh yeah, good. Do all those things. You know what? I'm going to hang 29, 10, and 14 on you. Triple-double for James Harden. My God, goes into the break. The Nets look like they're for real. The Rockets are junk, just limping to the finish line. The finish line being the All-Star break. Very sad what's happened to the Rockets, but was that a good move? We'll ask Kenny Smith this. Was that a good move by the Rockets announcing before the game this morning that they were going to retire his jersey?
Yeah, you would think that at minimum he would, you know, out of sentimentality and like, mm-hmm. oh, I meant something to these people. I better not break their hearts here tonight. You know, you're right. He's a stone cold killer, this James Harden.
Well, and there's There's the other part of it. Should the Rockets have even retired the number? Like,
Of course not.
After what he did, it certainly doesn't need to be 2 months after he abandoned them, right? In such a weird way. They don't have to announce that they're doing it and put him up there in the Raptors with Olajuwon. And I think Calvin Murphy, obviously he deserves, if you look at the all-time Rocket rankings, he deserves to be, a tribute down the road. But not when he's coming to town, right? Fred, the wounds are fresh.
No, not even yet. Of course he doesn't deserve to have his... I mean, first of all, he doesn't start his career in Houston. Obviously, he's not going to finish his career in Houston. It's not like he was there for a decade. It's not like they won a title. It's not like they ever played in the finals or anything. Whatever. This is what you do. I've said many times before, I find it terribly pathetic when, like... I mean, there are people out there right now who, when the Los Angeles Rams went to the Super Bowl, there were St. Louis football fans who were happy. Well, that's my team. No, it's not your team. They dumped you and they married somebody cuter. You're happy for them? Did you send them a wedding gift too? Did you get in touch with Jared Goff to congratulate him on his success after dumping you? And same goes the other way. Rams fans in Los Angeles who were rooting for Kurt Warner and the greatest show on turf. Where's your dignity? Where's your dignity, Houston Rockets? What kind of weirdo, pathetic move is this?
Oh, so you're saying never. You're saying they never should
retire.
You
certainly don't do it this year. That's nobody treats you like that.
For sure not
so
this
sad.
Year. Yes. Second all-time scorer for the Rockets behind Hakeem. Second in turnovers, first in threes, all that. I mean, the numbers bear out that he should get memorialized some way, but not this year. You don't think at all. Interesting. I think if you're going to play that game, he's not going to end his career with the team. You're going to see very few numbers retired in the upcoming years. It's not going to be the Calvin Murphys and the Rudy Tomjanoviches of the Rockets. They stay there forever. But
I don't think it's setting the bar too high to ask that if we're going to retire a guy's number that he hasn't badmouthed us and intentionally given less than his best effort and everything else. And you're going to do it in the year that he did that to you?
Yeah.
It's a really different sad time. This is tracking very much like the Cleveland Browns. This is like, you have to celebrate something, so let's embrace this. Like, Browns win a wild card game, stop the city for it. Like, let's celebrate for the next month. James Harden's coming back. Hey, he was good for us for a few years. Let's get it on, Houston. I mean, come on.
What is the equivalent of announcing the morning of the day of the big game that you're, is it like, yeah, you got a new guy. Keep the engagement ring. That could be your guys' arrangement. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but it is very strange.
Is it like the show? It it's like in most movies when there's a couple that splits, if that's the plot of a movie, then there's always the scene of like when they start dancing with their new loves, you know, and then they keep looking at each other the whole time. Like the Houston Rockets are dancing with, they don't have a pretty new girl. That's what's sad. They're just dancing like, we don't miss you, but it doesn't really send that message. It says that we desperately miss you, we have so little else happening that we may as well use you as an excuse to get a little bit of shine here.
And maybe the Rockets tore their ACL doing the Paso Doble too while we're at it. I'm trying to add to the analogy. I think you just explained the premise to She's All That. I'm not sure how that goes. But anyway, Rockets got their heads handed to them, 132-114. Like I said, triple-double for James Harden. We'll ask Kenny the Jet Smith what he thinks about all this. Yesterday,
I can't wait to hear talk. Go ahead. I love it. Yeah. And the other thing you were talking, I'm sorry to just go back one last second here to our group draft there, which I really do think is going to be a lot of fun to track. And I think that the listener, when we open it up, I think when we let the listener get in on the fun, it'll be even more fun. You said the toughest thing was having to listen to Kevin Hench complain for an hour about it. I don't have enough to deal with listening to him for an hour every week on -3, by the way, new one coming at you on Thursday. So be on the lookout for that one. A great one with Matt Money Smith, voice of the LA Chargers, and our old pal, Handsome Hank, and Eddie Spaghetti. And I all got together. A lot of people weighing in on that one. We tried the win play show. What nation has the best food? But we don't have to get into that now. But I Hench got in my head there because he was belly aching.
Hench is always
every
in your
step
head.
Of the way.
That'll be fun to see how that plays out. Yeah. What do I want to say?
What nation has the best food, Sal?
Well, it's ours. Our nation. But I listened to your thing and you changed the rules halfway through. It's like 1, 2, and 3.
No, I didn't. No.
And then it's like, yeah, but 4 is something you'll never really have again. I'm like, oh, well, that's different. But I think, what did you put 1? I'm trying to figure. Did you put Italian 1?
I said Italian food. I bet the whole
because
idea
pizza's
of doing
Italian.
This because Stanley-
pizza's Italian. Pizza's Italian, so it's gotta be one.
Stanley Tucci's going, are you watching that, by the way?
Yes, I'm not watching, but I heard about it. Yeah.
Going around Italy, eating everything. It just is a divine idea for something.
Pizza's Italian, it's got to be one. It's got to be number one because that's
Marsala,
the one
Parmesan. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Spaghetti or gnocchi, but you're really going to choose anything over those. But yes, that's one. And then the U.S., but it's not like our version of pizza. You don't get to claim that. American food like brisket and barbecue ribs and
I love
wieners.
It all.
That's our, you know, wings. How about
I
wings?
Thought Chinese
food, Cajun food.
I thought, well, you said Asian, you had Japanese, Chinese food got a little, that didn't get recognized as much as I thought it should have been. I think it should be in someone's top 3 there. There were 4 of you guys there, right?
I think the sushi is what people slept on.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm with you.
Anyway,
it
was a fun conversation.
I mean,
go listen to it.
I'm really trying to think of a good segue into Devin Booker getting ejected from Chinese food. I just can't do it. I can't. This is what you do to me, Dave. We went Harden to Hench to food. Okay. And now I got to talk about Devin Booker getting ejected in the Lakers game yesterday. And there's just one part. Well, first of all, it sucked, the ejection. I don't know if you saw it. He bounced the ball back to the ref. And LeBron reacted, like put his hand on his head, almost as if to think, like, is this how bad the call was? It's like, is this call on me? Like, no, it's on him, and it's their best player, and he's getting ejected from the game, and you're still going to get beaten by double digits, Lakers. Suns making their move there in the Pacific Division. But that was a weird whistle. We've seen a few of them.
Yeah, it's really getting to be a plague. And, you know, I don't know if it's owed to officials real. I mean, we make those jokes, but, you know, about like, hey, nobody paid to come and see you do your job, referee. Mm-hmm. And it also reminds me of one of my favorite semi-rhetorical questions. Did anybody you know ever growing up say, you know what I want to do? I don't want to be in the NBA. I don't want to be a player in the NFL. I'd like to oversee the rules for other people. What kind of officious weirdo growing up would be like, yeah, was it like the crossing guard kid who wore the orange strap thing? It was like, this speaks to me. That I want this to be my life's work. I wanna lord over people with rules. I mean, that's the most pathetic life choice you can I can think of.
Let me play Devil's Damashek over here. Am I allowed to play or you play? You're the only one who can play Devil's Damashek.
Go ahead. Let your hair down.
The thing that you said is very telling where people say no one goes to see the refs. No one goes anyway, but no one tunes in to see the refs, right? Whenever anyone makes an ambitious call, no one tunes like, I think this would hurt my feelings eventually. If you're a ref that's doing the games for like 25 years, like, I would be like, oh yeah, watch this. Watch this crazy wig I'm gonna wear and these giant shoes. I'm gonna do everything within the compliance of NBA guidelines to make it so that people would stop for once and for all saying, eh, no one's tuning in to see the refs. Like, yep, look at me. I'm putting on a show and Enrico Palazzo, right? And a Naked Gun.
Yeah.
People tuning
right.
in to see him, right?
Nobody, it's you're right. And I can't think of a single official in our 4 major sports that has any ink. Is that you think?
Yeah.
I think it actually proves my point that you got to be some kind of square, that there's not a single guy, not that I'm sleeved up myself, but that there's not a single guy out there or woman at this point. No one has like a sleeve to their wrist.
Yeah.
I mean, real ink. Yeah. Get a tab or something. Nobody has that. Well, I think that says what kind of Squaresville we're looking at.
Hill producer Jim Cunningham could help me here. I think Stone Cold Steve Austin was a guest referee between Michaels and Bret Hart. He has, but not someone like him. You're not saying, now you're not counting professional wrestlers, right?
No, yeah, like no, Hockley. I know what you're saying. With you know, yeah. Hockley with like, you know, the barbed wire or something yeah. like that. Or a picture of himself. That's the best move, is a picture of oneself.
What did Kerry Frazier have? Although they were all buttoned up, the famed NHL official. Kerry Frazier.
I mean, I see now those guys, I'll give a pass. Like, okay, I can't make it in the league, but I am a divine skater. At least if oh, yeah. my life's work revolves around me just skating around laps on the ice because I love it so much. That one I give a pass to. Why anybody would want to stand there in gear and crouch mm-hmm. down and like take foul balls off your face and everything else. Really, what goes into the psychology of somebody who desires that? Like, because it's not like you decide, I watched a lot of sports, I'm going to be an official now. You have to go and slave in the minors for years, and maybe if you get real lucky, you get a break and bumped up. Who's willing to do that?
Well, they all wanted to be. They all wanted to be athletes, right? Well, probably all managers wanted to be athletes. They didn't want to, you know, be a skipper making lineups all the time, but it just didn't work out, right? The talent isn't there.
So doesn't that mean that they should then, by your logic, mm-hmm. so they are failed athletes themselves? They didn't achieve their dream. So wouldn't that reveal some vindictiveness on at least some of their parts? Like, sure. Oh yeah, Mr. Big Time multimillionaire, I'll show you. Time for my nerd revenge on you.
Potentially, yes.
You're out of the game.
Also, good thing,
Devin Booker.
Good thing they did, because what if we had nobody who wanted to be referees? I mean, it's not like priests. I don't know. I think we'd be in trouble if these guys had to call their own fouls. The only one is it Country Joe West or Cowboy Joe West? That's the umpire. It's Cowboy Joe West, and you want to see him getting a nose to nose with an umpire. But other than that, I'm not sure. Yeah, you're right. No one really stands out. But the poor refs, the poor umps, no one comes to see us. I think after a while, that would hurt my feelings.
I think you're right. Well, you know that would hurt my feelings. Like, hey, guess what, Dave? Nobody came to see you. Like, you don't have to say that to me.
I'm doing my job.
I know it already, but now you really... I'm just trying to get by, and now you got to say that to me?
Do me a favor.
Now, you know what?
The next time you drive up...
I'm petulant enough. Well, which team do you root for? Which you're yelling at me, fans? You're yelling at me? Guess what? Guess who's about to have another a nice night? The other team. I hope you liked it. I hope it
you know
what
would be interesting? Driving up to the Price is Right lot, the CBS lot, right? And you go by the security guard who lets you in, and you say, you know what? No one came to see you. That's it. It's the same kind of thing. No one's here to see you. We want to see Plinko. There you go. Just show us the way.
By the way, I mean, if we have time to talk, we have important things to talk with Kenny the Jet about. But mm-hmm. I really do, in from a basketball perspective, my assumption about the Lakers is that they're dangerous. We've talked about it over the last 6-8 weeks. Yeah. I kind of had the sense of the way their individual talent is spreading so deep that they could survive if Anthony Davis, as he has now had to sit down for a while, that's survivable, and they would still dominate most nights. I'm surprised by you. I mean, he's one of the half dozen best players in the league, so I shouldn't be that surprised. But you take him out, and all of a sudden they're getting hammered by the Devin Booker-less team. I mean, that's crazy.
That Suns team's all right. They're only a game back from the Lakers.
I agree, they're good.
But and they had won two before. I thought Schroeder was a big difference. Hey, we got Kenny the Jet in the waiting room here. Man wait. We rarely get a guest, let alone the caliber of Kenny the Jet. Now we're going to make him wait. Bring him on there, Jim. All right, there he is. Our guest today is a two-time NBA champion with the Houston Rockets and a 9-time Emmy winner with one of the most entertaining shows in the history of sports television, Inside the NBA. He was also robbed of winning the 1990 NBA Slam Dunk Contest. We're going to talk about that. Kenny the Jet Smith is here. What's happening, Kenny?
I love the robbery. I was robbed, Dominique Wilkins. But no, everything's going great, man. Enjoying it, getting ready for this documentary series, the All-Star Weekend, and everything's coming up this week.
Tell us about this documentary real quick, because I'm very excited about it, and everyone should be.
I mean, honestly, either we're very good or we're very old, because mm-hmm. usually people are dead when they're making documentaries about them. But I think overall, you know, we've become such a fabric within inside of pop culture, not just sports culture. So mm-hmm. it kind of translates. It's funny because I have my nephews and my son. I have a son that's 21 at North University of North Carolina. And they say sayings, but didn't realize that they're spawned from our show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they like it's just part of the fabric of their conversation. And I'm like, you know, we made that up, right? It's like, he's like, yeah, you lose, you're going to gone fishing. I'm like, yeah, I made that up, gone fishing. You know, like that's my thing. He's like, get out of here. You made that up, Dad.
Do you have to prove to him that it was you? Do you have to pull up right. all the footage of it?
It becomes part of fabric. You know, like, I guess I compare it to like a great rapper, like, you know, Jay-Z or Nas or,
right.
or Biggie. Like, you start saying slogans that they've said, mm-hmm. you know. Like, you're like, hey, holla at your boy. You'd be like, nah, Jay-Z really kind of started people saying that.
right.
Kenny, I saw you at a Jerry's Deli in Los Angeles just before all of COVID kicked in. And I really did almost come up to you and ask you this. You were sitting by yourself. You kind of made eye contact with me. And I thought, I'm not going to bother the man while he's having some eggs. So now I will ask you. You crossed over at UNC with a guy named Michael Jordan by a year. And we mentioned your two titles. And I know you had talked about this a little bit last year with the documentary, but I'm going to ask you again now. I say that the Houston Rockets would have vanquished the Chicago Bulls had Michael Jordan been on the team in the mid-90s. Mm. I think his legacy is much greater because he avoided having to play. I think you specifically, Kenny the Jet and Vernon Maxwell, could have done a number on 23. How say you?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say the word avoid it because he doesn't avoid it. He doesn't avoid things. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, we would have won. Absolutely. I just think there's two things that I always say. Absolutely. Because one, you think, who's won 8 titles in a row? When's the last? Who's done that? 8 titles.
Fair straight. Point, right.
Injuries, free agency, all the things that we saw that went on with his documentary, you know, who can do that? Secondly, there was no Dennis Rodman. There was no Horace Grant the 2 years we won. They were on different teams. They were way much too little for us to, you know, with Akeem Olajuwon, way too little. I do think absolutely we would have beat them those 2 years. But if they had gotten Rodman before then, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, no, that would have been different.
Really?
But without a Rodman, no way they would have been able to handle Akeem Olajuwon inside.
Interesting.
Could you have specifically, did you pick something up in your year practicing against Jordan that would have allowed you some advantage, you and Vernon Maxwell? Is there something like, oh, I know what 23 wants to do in this spot with the floor. I remember it from Chapel Hill.
I would have known not to speak to him or look him in his eye. I wouldn't have looked right. You know how that rumor, I knew the rumor was true. So we would have just, I'd have been like, Vernon, just shut up. Don't say anything. Let's just get it done. Don't say a word. But I really, you know, it's funny because the first three year run that they won championships, we're in the West and they're in the East. And it's the regular season, not the playoffs. We were 6-2 against them. Mm. In that run, like we had beat them 6 times. They can only beat us twice. We just didn't match up well for them in those runs. So I'm happy actually we didn't play them because I wouldn't want it to be part of tarnishing that legacy. That legacy is what makes him who he is. And I'm actually glad that we weren't part of that if it did happen, honestly.
Well, it worked out well for you, Kenny. You know what you're part of? You're part of the greatest sports roundtable show of all time. And you know what? I do one on Fox, and I always think about it. I'm like, it's just nothing's ever going to be as good as Inside the NBA. And I've talked to this today, to Dave about this, and I've talked to my cousin, Jimmy Kimmel, who also does a show. And we agree, it might just be the greatest show of all time. How do you feel? I'm not just kissing your ass here. How do you feel watching other shows? Is it hard for you knowing that you guys are so much more entertaining and informative than other shows?
I think.
You could say yes.
It's not hard for me to watch because I don't.
I see.
I never watch another sports show. Mm. Only because I don't like to get influenced because I understand the influence that we have. So I've not, for the last, like, I know Stephen A. and PTI and all this. I've been on those shows, but I've never watched their show.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't watch. I think we have something unique that no one ever could imitate or duplicate. And I really believe if any of us left, it would be irreplaceable, because the other ones, we feed off of each other so much that it would be, it would just look, you know, it just would be like the Odd Couple without Felix Unger. Like, you know what I mean? It just would like, wait,
I think they
guy?
Tried that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who's that guy? So I just think that, you know, I think we have something so unique because we all are unscripted. We are bringing our personalities. And what the documentary is going to show is what we do in the back just makes it to the, it's a continuation that makes it to the front. It does. It's not like, yeah, oh, this is it. And it stops. It's literally, I'm in the same hotel as Charles. I was downstairs before the interview. He's screaming at the bar across the thing with his mask on. And I'm on the other side, and it's a continuation of, he's like, did you see Shaq? He's wrestling tonight. Look, Kenny. And it's like, it's a constant, it's a constant thing. So
right,
it's not fake. It's not fake.
Someone just ends up putting a microphone on you guys eventually. That's and it. Then you go back to That's the bar. Let me ask you that. Forget about taking someone away from the crew. What if you were to add somebody? You have the choice. They're going five. They say, hey, Kenny, we're going five-man crew. It's you, it's Ernie, it's Charles, it's Shaq. You could add somebody. You can go current players. You can go former players. Would you go like Draymond Green or Blake?
It was interesting. It's interesting you say that because I don't think anyone could replace, but I think you could add. Okay. I do think you could add. And I was like the Jackson 5. I was like, we'd be the Jackson 5. And God bless them right now, man. But I my wish was Kobe Bryant. It was because I wanted to have Shaq on one end and Kobe on the other. Mm-hmm. Because they give such diametric different postures about things.
Yeah.
And I used to hear the stories that they would say, like Shaq would say about Kobe. And then you hear Kobe and I'm like, wait, those things, like you got to bring that to TV, man. And I, that would have been the perfect person because he's so abrasive. And anyone who comes to our show, they can't try to fit in. They mm-hmm. have to have a personality. And like, I'm not trying to blend in. I'm going to be me. And this is how I am. And I'm not going to be influenced by these guys positively or negatively. That was Kobe Bryant. Yeah. And I don't know if there's another person out there right now that has that type of mental fortitude, that Mamba mentality to be like, no, this is it. I used to always say I wanted Kobe Bryant to join our show.
Mm. That's too bad. It's not going to happen. That would have been great. I'd love to see him and Shaq go at it. And obviously great basketball mind.
Yeah, that was it. That was my dream.
And, you know, shout out too to Ernie for running the show. He's a perfect point guard for you guys, setting you up to each be a star by your own right. He does a gangbuster job as well. Sal and I have been talking about this the last week or so. I mean, every night, pretty much, somebody gets posterized. You posterized guys in your career. I don't remember you getting posterized too much based on your position.
I'm not blocking shots.
Why is this considered to be the worst thing that can happen to you? I can think of at least three other things. I'd rather get posterized than shoot an air ball, especially on a free throw. I'd rather not get crossed over and fall down on the floor in front of other people. And I wouldn't want to get rejected, especially from the perimeter. That's the most humiliating thing because I've had it happen to me from 20 feet. Somebody swatted me. That's a humiliation as a grown man. Why is getting posterized so bad?
Because in a poster or meme, what they are now, we're showing our age by calling it posterized.
Right,
it's meme, the memeization of getting being a meme. it's because it's physical brute force. It's the Neanderthal in you. Like mano a mano, it's clashing together, and you lose and you bend. It's you're the rod that bends. You know what I mean? Being the rod that bends.
Emasculation, right?
Oh, no question. It's definitely emasculating. So it's you being the rod that bends. You don't ever want to be the rod that bends.
Yeah,
and that's when you go up and they go up and you're meeting in the middle. you bet not bend, because your girl is watching, your mom is watching, your kids are watching, and you don't want to bend.
Speaking, Kenny, of being emasculated, your Rockets lost to James Harden's Nets 132-114. Lots of weird stuff with this game, right? James Harden coming home, puts up a triple-double, showed no mercy, 29-10-14. But what was weird to me is the Rockets announced before the game, not before the game, but this morning, that they were going to retire James Harden's number eventually. They didn't have to do this. Were they just hoping that Harden would take it easy on them if they make this announcement? Do you agree with the announcement? Should they have waited?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the greatest Rockets of all time, without question. He just haven't taken to the heights that, you know, we had played at, you know,
right.
But he came close. But he's definitely individually, he was the MVP of the league. You know, he was close to it every year. He's one of the greatest Rockets. He will go down as that. Unfortunately, couldn't win a championship there. But they were begging for mercy.
Yeah, they really were. Begging for the All-Star break, for sure.
My last question, Kenny, is it a trip for you, a guy who was the star for a certain era there in Chapel Hill? You go on to the NBA, star there, two titles and everything else. Do you feel like, you talk about your 21-year-old kid, that you're better known now? It's almost like Paul McCartney in Wings, that people in a certain age are like, wait, he did something before he was a broadcaster? Must be a lot of people out there who didn't even know you were.
Oh, no, no question. I think they know that I played, but I'm definitely more known today. Like, because of, without question. I think I was, you know, when you win championships, you become like you get that 15, 20 minutes of fame back to back, you know? So everyone knows. But then it fades because somebody else wins it the next year. This, we're next to the winner every day. So we're the winners.
Yeah.
So, like, for me as a player, it's interesting. When I go through an airport, when I was a player, people would go, oh, there he goes. Yeah, that's him. Yeah. They point and whisper. Or they would, you know, they'll take out the camera phone. Now, as what I am now, everyone comes to you and talks because you're in their living room. They feel like they actually turn you on to bring you into their house. So they feel they have a personal relationship with you. So I got to be ready to talk. So if I go anywhere, I better be like, hey, with the throat lozenge in, you cannot just be like, oh, I'm going out to not talk. Because everyone needs 5 minutes. You said this about my favorite player. You said this about politics. Talk about everything. You said this about schools. You said everything you can imagine. So definitely much more known now.
For sure. For sure.
I got more national commercials too. I'm like, I'm a commercial. I like one every 2 or 3 years. Like, I get it. I jump into like a posse cut of like commercials. Now it's like, oh, we need it. No, it's definitely more now.
But what I'm hearing is that I'm classy because I didn't bother you at Jerry's Deli. In other words,
I would have expected it and I was ready for it. I'm not going to Jerry's Deli and not ready to talk.
I think they closed it down. I don't think anyone's going there. Yeah,
no doubt.
One more thing for me, Kenny. When are you going to take that commercial money and show Charles Barkley up betting money on the NBA futures? He put $100,000 on the Blazers. What goes through your mind when he does something like that?
Never bet on someone else. That's really? My first thing. Like, well, somebody might have a upset stomach that day. I don't know. Like, what I mean, like, the only thing I ever bet on is like when I play cards. Like, in there, I'm in the house. That's it. But hundreds of thousands of dollars, I work much too hard to be giving it away to anyone through the cards or anything else. He is an idiot. Charles is an idiot for betting that type of money on any sport anywhere because he does not win more than he loses. No one does. And he definitely loses a lot more than he wins. Yes, he's an idiot.
But he doesn't care, right? That's a sickness, right?
So I don't know if he cares, but I tell you what, he's losing.
Yeah. For sure. Well, the documentary is called The Inside Story. It starts Thursday night on TNT following the Miami-New Orleans game. tells the fans what they don't see behind the scenes. I can't even believe it's more spectacular from what we do see, but you're telling us it is. And I believe you. Thanks so much for coming on, Kenny. I appreciate it.
All right. Can't wait. Thank you.
He's delightful. What a fun guy. Kenny the Jet Smith, Dave.
Delightful indeed, eh?
I forgot to ask him the nickname the Jet. Can you change your nickname after so long? Like right now it's got a negative connotation, right? Because it's not the New York Jet. But how many new losing seasons do the Jets have to go through before you're like, call me the Bill or something, or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all the gains for the Pirates of the Earth, from Pirates of the Caribbean, Johnny Depp and everything else, undone by the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right.
But then again, Tom Brady has now elevated the profession once again. But yes, I get your larger point.
Yeah, but a nickname is more specific. And I mean, there's a road by my house called Isis Street, and they just leave it. And I'm like, just change that. What are we doing? Why do we have to drive, take a left on Isis Street? It has to come up on Waze screaming at us, Isis Street. But anyway, Kenny Smith, great, that documentary.
I loved his answer on the, I love when guys say, that was a, imagine, and he's probably right. One, I happen to agree that those Rockets would have beaten them for exactly the reasons he laid out there. Mm-hmm. One, but two, that he's lucid or whatever enough to know that the league is probably not where it is if Michael Jordan doesn't get those titles. That he's that deferential that everybody understands, like, well, it wouldn't be good for any of us if Michael Jordan wasn't perfect in the finals.
Well, the next question that nobody really knows the answer to, unless except for Michael Jordan, is did he step aside purposely, right? I mean, that was, we know he did, but for these various reasons, right? Was there an investigation coming down? What was going on? How different would it have been if he stayed in and fought it and played and all this other stuff?
Well, and it's a great point, too, that I hadn't considered. Right. What's the likelihood that you're just going to run the table, that you're just going to win the fourth in a row and then the fifth in a row, and then there's not going to be emotional fatigue or otherwise as you do that? That also would have given the Rockets an advantage. So, in other words, the MJ, if it would have been Akeem versus MJ, MJ v. OJ, because that chase happened while the Rockets were playing the Knickerbockers, if you'll recall.
Of course. OJ stole the show.
Remember how they inset the NBA Finals were inset in the big part of the screen?
Yeah,
was OJ's
the
Bronco.
Car chase? Yeah, and Bob Costas losing his mind. So MJ, so basically, gambling saved sports again, saved the NBA because MJ had to step aside because of the gambling. Didn't have to, or did he? So we don't know. But that's good for gambling. I'm saying, you know, he can make fun of Charles and call him an idiot all he wants. Gambling's still the best. And because
still
nothing
funnier than Michael Jordan going to Vegas, like to Phil Jackson, to Phil Jackson. Dennis Rodman, we don't know where he is. I got this one, coach. Like, no. We'll send Bill Wennington. Like, nope, I can't hear you. I'm already at the airport, coach. Too late. I
mean, was that maybe that was
Michael
set up
Jordan, the greatest player in the world, is in Vegas looking for Dennis Rodman.
What
the hell happened over that 48-hour stretch?
No mistake that it's Vegas. He must have said, hey, Dennis, if you're going to get lost for 3 days, go to Vegas so I could track you down there. Forget Vegas, though, because you got FanDuel Sportsbook right there in your wallet. They've got a secure, simple-to-use app. They offer live betting on throughout games. They provide promotions and odds boosts every single day. And they have exclusive bet types such as same game parlays, where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. Easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet. They have a range of betting options. Like I said, you could do live betting. Place your bet fast during a game if you see a trend you like. Opportunity to win big with FanDuel's exclusive same game parlays, like I said. And right now, the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. If you sign up today, they'll let you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. They'll give you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. All customers also get up to $25 back in site credit each day if their parlay fails and falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. So if you get a $1,000 free bet, I'm going to pick a game here, Dave, for Thursday night. Milwaukee -5 at Memphis. I'm going to take Memphis here. Memphis pretty hot. Grizzlies won 3 out of 4. They beat the Clippers by 28. You know, Tyus Jones, Justice Winslow, forget about Ja Morant, who had 35 against Washington. This offense is cooking. I don't think Milwaukee has to thrash them going into the All-Star break. It's Coast City. Take Memphis. Take the points. You're getting 6. Do that on FanDuel Sportsbook. And guess what? If you lose and it's your first bet and you have $1,000 on it, you get it back in site credit. That's a pretty good deal. FanDuel Sportsbook. Sign up with promo code Extra Points so we know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code Extra Points. All right, Dave, what do we want to do? You want to talk a little football? What do you think of this anniversary thing with Bradshaw? Had you seen this before? I can't believe I'd never seen this before. 38 years ago, no. He checked into, what did he do here? He checked into a hotel? Was it a hospital?
Yes.
What did he do?
Well, he was going to have his surgery.
Right.
I guess I should, I said I know the story and now I'm not sure of the specifics because it must have been a hotel. I mean, I don't think you can check into a hospital under an alias.
This is what I'm saying. He once had elbow surgery under the assumed name Tom Brady. He was admitted to the doctor's hospital in his hometown of Shreveport, Louisiana. So it's in his hometown. And to avoid being descended upon by the press and admirers, Brady admitted under an assumed name, and that was Thomas Brady in 1983. This is almost impossible to be true. Right?
It really is. It's like Doc Holliday did the surgery on him.
Yeah.
Some small town general practitioner. It is bizarre that I know, obviously, you can, well, it's not that crazy because they both are TB. It's crazy that winners of 11 Super Bowls, that the guy who had the most used the name of a guy. Wait, was he born at that point, Tom Brady? He would be alive at that point, but
He was born in 79. What was it? Yeah, 78-ish, I guess. Yeah, so he was a little boy. It's like 4 or 5 years old.
The chances of that are insane. The craziest one of them all, I think, is. But this makes the list. This is in the very short list of craziest sports coincidences. The best one is that. Is it Ken Griffey Jr. and Stan Musial are from the same hometown? And they,
oh, wow.
Ken Griffey Jr. has 3,000 hits, and he has the second most hits from this podunk town in middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. It's crazy.
And two Hall of Famers, right? Well, are you right about that, or are you guessing? I mean, you might be making that up.
No, it's Stan Musial, and I think it's Ken Griffey Jr. I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
They were on this date in one small Pennsylvania town. Stan Musial and Ken Griffey Jr. were born. So not the.
I left out the key detail. Not only are they from that small town, they're born on the same date. Ken Griffey Jr. has the second most hits from somebody born on that date from that small Pennsylvania town behind Stan Musial.
Denora, Pennsylvania, 49 years apart. Exactly. Born. That's pretty good. But
outside of Pittsburgh,
to go out of your way to say Thomas Brady. I mean, there's also the chance that Bradshaw thought that was his real name, right? We can't discount that. He's a little out of it now.
Exactly. The Terry Bradshaw is what he went with after he got bonked on the head for the 7th time in 6 months and was just like, I don't remember. Let's just go with Terry Bradshaw. For all we know, he is Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we should check the dates of where Tom Brady/Terry Bradshaw were, you know,
I mean, right.
Definitely the Steelers made road trips out to the West Coast.
He might have 11 rings now. It's hard to even fathom what's going on. I don't even know why I bring this up because I'm bringing this up to tell you that I'm sick of talking about Dak Prescott already. So now we're going to talk about Dak Prescott instead of just throwing and saying next week. Well, they're saying he wants Patrick Mahomes' money. And that seems to me a good way to get yourself tagged to say you want Patrick Mahomes' money. I feel like they're going to tag him anyway. I don't know why there's such a negative connotation with the tags. Maybe it should be an actual physical tag and it's like a nice gold bracelet or something, like a championship belt, but you wear it around your neck and then guys wouldn't hang their heads and walk around.
That'll definitely take away any stigma if you have to wear something.
But if it's worth something, right? You got it. All right. And no, you're not, it's not the Scarlet Letter, but it's like, hey, I got my tag. What do you think? Huh? I was like, oh man, I wish I was tagged. Then it becomes a good thing.
I'd be outraged if anybody tagged me, but then again, it would speak to like, hey, somebody wants me. I guess I shouldn't turn my nose up.
Of course.
I mean, I've said to you repeatedly now, obviously the way the Cowboys are constructed, it's not like they're finishing like, oh man, can you believe if we would have hit that one pass, we would have won the Lombardi. They're very far away from winning
the division. They were a game away from winning the division without Dak Prescott. What are they far away from?
I mean, come on. I mean, it's fun to make fun of any division that has that kind of a year when the division champ doesn't go 500 and whatever. But the Cowboys are very far away, Sal.
This time last year, they were a top six team in terms of odds to win the Super Bowl. I don't think moving on from Dak Prescott is the answer. I know you and babyface Joel Solomon, you put together this cockamamie spreadsheet saying, nope, if you can't do it before your fifth season, you're out. But Prescott's getting better and better and better his last three seasons. So I don't think that's a time to move on from somebody.
Well, first of all, it's not a small matter that they still aren't that the ankle there's from what right. I read, what do I know? But it sounds like there's some question about how the ankle, the state of that he broke horrifically. But I mean, listen, when you get to the place, as we've seen with any of these QBs, once you get to the place where you're consuming that level of the salary cap, the Cowboys need more talent. They don't they can't just devote all resources to making four to building around number four there. I just don't think that the formula has worked for Dallas. They would do well. I think Dak Prescott is great. I think he's underrated. I think he's one of the 8 or 10 best quarterbacks in the game. I'd love it as a Steelers fan if I found out that Dak Prescott was the starting quarterback as of 2022, or even if there was some path for him to wind up there before that. I don't think that the Cowboys are constructed to win the Super Bowl. If Justin Fields, I know it's not a guarantee, but if Justin Fields or Trey Lance, if there was an indication that one of those two guys is going to be there,
yeah,
with the gaggle of receivers that they have, and you plug in a kid like that who is not going to consume very much of the cap for the next half decade, this potentially is a winning formula.
I think everybody gets way consumed with this cap thing. I get it that you can't go over the cap too much, but there's some creative accounting that goes on, and Tom Brady put off getting paid for years and it worked out. And you're doing just that. What you said, you're plugging in a kid in a very tough situation, which is to be a quarterback and a leader. And he is a leader in Dallas. And that, right. So now the ankle thing is a legitimate problem, which is why I think they're going to franchise tag him. Why wouldn't you want him for this year? If you're talking about signing him for five years after this, it's different.
I also am a cynic about running backs at this point. Zeke Elliott, as devastating as he was, I mean, he was crummy last year.
Well, so what's that? Why is that Prescott? What are we going to do about that?
Because if they have to move on from Zeke, then you're talking kind of then if you move on from your feature running back, it seems to me that a reboot might be in order for the Cowboys. I hear you though, because the division is imminently winnable.
It's so bad.
I also, it's not just Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. I said on -3 this week, Patrick Mahomes has already missed his best chance. Not to say he won't get another one or another five, but he's missed his best chance in terms of the roster that he was on and the setup this past a couple of months ago to win his second ring. It's going to be a tougher go of things for him because of the amount of the cap he's about to consume, not to mention the rising young QBs
They'll still have Hill. They'll still have Kelsey. They'll still have all those guys. I think when those guys start going away is when you worry about it. It's of course always tough to repeat or get back or all that. Yes, I'm the blackjack dealer, and the rest of the division has six right now. And an unsigned Dak Prescott to me is better than Tyler Heinicke in Washington. Obviously, the Washington defense is the best unit in all of the NFC East. Okay, but Tyler Heinicke And, you know, what we got Daniel Jones, who they don't know if they should move on for. Spaghetti could pretend to be excited about him, but really that's a coin flip. And then you got, you know, the Philadelphia. What are they going to do? They'll probably go out. You got 1.5 good games out of that kid out of the last 3 or 4. Not a great idea there. I don't think so. So the whole division is a mess. Dak Prescott far and away the best out of those guys.
All right, you make a compelling case as far as that goes, at least. You really do. I also think that the Eagles, for all their noise, they're not going to stick with Jalen Hurts. They're going to use that 6th overall on a QB themselves. So it might be a moot point. Justin Fields and Trey Lance may both be gone by the time the Cowboys even go to 10th, which is, you know, which leads to the point of, you know, all these teams making their plans around trading up to get Trey Lance or otherwise. We're now in the phase of the draft where you're now getting nonsense from the GMs around the league about like, oh, they're very, you know what? They really like Mac Jones. They like Mac Jones is not getting drafted before Justin Fields. Hear me now, believe me later. I will be floored if it goes down that way.
Yeah.
But all those QBs are going to be gone by, I would say, by pick 15 or so. If you go through the draft.
I don't even want to bother.
They're all coveted because you want the sweet spot. Is not just a good quarterback now. Now you need a good quarterback who's still on his rookie deal. That's why Russell Wilson hasn't been back to a Super Bowl since he got to his second deal. That's why babyface Joel Solomon is right with his research. The win, your chance of getting there, even if you're a Hall of Famer, goes down considerably when you are expected to cover all the warts on the roster because you're taking up so much of the salary cap, preventing you from having a deep roster. You better be one goddamn great quarterback to obscure all the weaknesses on the roster that are owed to you.
Right.
That's what Dak Prescott's about to be.
Yeah, I know. I'd still rather, you know, focus on a stud linebacker in those middle picks there and then not worry about Sean Lee starting another year or Leighton Van Der Esch who gets hurt. And we know how it is. You need a pass rush. The Bucs won the Super Bowl because they had a pass rush, for God's sake. Yeah, I mean, you have to agree to that. But I don't know. I guess my original point is I don't want to talk about Dak Prescott anymore. And we talked 15 minutes about
March
him.
Is
beginning of March.
You know, I said earlier in the week, March, a lot of people like to float it as the best sports month, and it is still October, but March is great because of what free agency has become in the NFL. It's so much fun, and this coming week or two is going to really be great. It's going to, because of the lower cap, I assume most people are kind of following it sufficiently to know that the cap is down, and this has surprised a lot of teams. Nobody saw COVID coming, so now people are going to start dumping players. In fact, they've already started doing that. Kyle Van Noy out in Miami. That's just the start of things. So there's going to be so much movement gonna be nuts. This season.
Yeah. Oh my God. We may have to go live. What happened?
You know, Schecker season. I call Schecker season the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving through nightfall of New Year's Day when the bowl games finish. That's the entirety of Schecker season.
Right.
And the best part of Schecker season is because, you know, schoolwork goes down. Nobody really cares if you do it, all that kind of thing. You presents and out at bars and all that stuff. For 6 weeks of celebrating. The best part of Schecker season, though, is Thanksgiving. Why? Because it's the first part. And just like that, here we are with college basketball about to reach its peak, and everybody's excited for the tournament. But don't sleep on the Thanksgiving of it, a.k.a. the conference tournaments. Next week, that's some of the most fun of the thing because those bum teams that have no chance of doing anything once they actually play in the tournament, this is the celebrations when they make a buzzer beater from I don't know what directional school in Michigan or whatever, they're going to the tournament. They're going to get smoked by 38 next time you see them. But in the meantime, it's fun to watch. And the ACC and the Big Ten, these tournaments are going to be just grand.
I don't know if they'll be grand. I do agree with you. I would get just as excited for the conference tournaments as I did the NCAA. First of all, I try to make money so that I'd have Lou to bet the NCAA. But with no fans or few fans, it's not going to be as exciting.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And there's also a threat. I'm hearing that the Big East, they may cancel it. And you know what, Dave? I feel sick because a lot of people remember Rudy Gobert vomiting as the start of sports getting canceled. I remember all one by one that Thursday, boom, 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 all those conference tournaments getting canceled little by little. That Thursday is when the, you know, you don't have the play-in game. I'm like, oh my God, I get sick. I just want to get through it. I imagine if we have two seasons, two NCAA tournaments ruined by this terrible virus. I wouldn't be able to take it.
Starting to get in there. It's nice.
I know.
Starting to get fans in there slowly but surely. But I hear you on that one. That really was the craziest little 24 hours. Right, Gobert does his thing on the microphone. Then wait, Tom Hanks has it, and it's like, oh, this is serious now. Now we have to shut it down. I always say, if those two things hadn't happened on basically the same day, I wonder if we would have just as a society been like, okay, stop screwing around, everybody. We got the Super Bowl in, and now we shut it down. Tom Hanks is in jeopardy.
Right. Yeah. Oh boy. I don't even want to think about it. Just forge forward. Let's everyone be safe and let's get through this
conference and NCAA tournament.
That's the good news. You're right. Exactly. Here's the bad news though, Dave. Someone reached out to us at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. That's where you write to us with any complaints or anything you want to talk about. You have any comments on what we've discussed. David Wilson titles this The Uniformant. He says, guys, love listening to the podcast, and I've been a fan since the inception. I currently work as a contractor for the U.S. Navy in Japan and have been here since 2006. I have one complaint. It would be with Dave being called The Uniformant. I was born in Eastern Ohio, but raised in a small town outside of Pittsburgh, Newcastle, around obnoxious Steelers fans. Being from Ohio originally, I was a fan of the Browns because my father was a fan, and it was something we could enjoy together. Dave, like most Steelers fans that I know, incorrectly states that the Steeler colors are black and gold when anyone who is not colorblind can easily see that their colors are black and yellow. How can you be the self-proclaimed uniformant and not be able to identify your own team colors? It's even worse because the college team in Pittsburgh actually has gold in their uniforms. Still going to listen and take care. Your fan in Japan, David B. Wilson. Well, there you go.
All right. Joel, I don't know how you do it exactly. Technically, Jim, cut off David's feed forever. He's not allowed to listen.
What?
To the show anymore. That's stuck in Japan. That's my new rule. I'm just saying something to you and I want you to hear me. If you go ahead, it's a free country. I'm not going to tell you you're not allowed to write in and say negative things about Dave. Just know that my new rule is I'm going to ban you.
From what?
Overly harsh. I don't want to start off.
This guy's putting his life on the line. He's been in Japan for 15 years. And he takes you to task on a color.
Okay. I'll be benevolent. He's suspended for 1 week. You're not allowed to listen to the show for 1 week.
I think that's fair.
I hope it was worth it to you to write that. I hope it was worth it to you. A guy who roots for a team called Brown, and they have more orange in their uniforms than brown. And he has the gall to speak up on business that has nothing to do with him. You made your bed, friend. You had a choice. Newcastle, PA, on the right side of the border, by the way. Okay, born in Ohio. Oh, but me and my dad, that's our thing. You made a bad choice. Your dad made a bad choice.
Wow.
And now you must sleep with that. And guess what? You know what? I know you feel sad about that. And now you can't be made to feel a little bit better for 1 hour twice a week because you are hereby for the next week banned from listening to Extra Points. Congratulations.
I got to tell you, David, not Dave Damashek, but David Wilson, everything. I want to be on your side for this, but at the matter at hand, it seems like you're incorrect. Everything's saying black and gold. Everything. I don't see yellow anywhere. I mean, I see you could say yellow. I think it's more fun to say gold. I don't know.
Wiz Khalifa says black and yellow, black and yellow. The kids say black and yellow, in fact. The younger generation questions. Even Jean-Claude Van Damashek asked me, he's like, why is it called black and gold? And I sat him on instead of black and yellow, and I sat him on my knee, and 9 hours later, he was released after I explained to him what was great about it being black and gold.
All right, so Wiz Khalifa, David Wilson, and Jean-Claude Van Damashek are you hereby suspended for a week from listening. They're probably very relieved to Extra Points. There you go. But hit us up, theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. Dave, you're at Damashek on Twitter.
Yeah, be careful, though. Be careful, though. New sheriff in town.
Who's that? What do you mean? Where?
Me.
You're the new sheriff.
Suspended from listening, then badmouth me. Go ahead.
The new sheriff has a new podcast on -3. Well, not new. It's been around for a while, but you have a new episode.
The deputy is Kevin Hench. And the prisoner is Eddie Spaghetti because he has to sit there and take a verbal beating from Kevin Hench. But it's delightful stuff. Our first show, well reviewed by you, the listener. We appreciate the feedback on it. We'll have a good show for you coming up at the tail end of the week to get you right, especially all of you in the Northeast. That's our focus, picking all things tri-state, Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, up into Boston, shame the devil. I really do love doing it with Hench and Spaghetti. And then the earlier show in the week, we have a bunch of fun people lined up to join us over the coming weeks and months. So get there on board, go. Why don't you? Except for you, David Wilson.
That's -3. We just did a Laugh Lines with Rachel Bonetta. That was fun. Lemon Pepper Parlay Gang, Betting Academy. They're betting every night. Kendrick Perkins and Gina Paradiso. Not every night, but twice a week. They have bets for the week. Hit them all against the odds. We're going to do that Thursday night. We'll have some weekend UFC stuff for you. And thank you so much to Kenny the Jet Smith. What an honor. That was great, him jumping on. You can catch his documentary right after the game on TNT, The Inside Story. And a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites. See you next week.